The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I wish to share the faith with you this morning in the name of God who creates us, loves us, and sustains us. Amen. There is an event that's coming toward the end of December for which I am incredibly excited. Some people are getting ready for it in different ways. I'm preparing for it in certain ways with my sons, and other people are preparing for it in their own ways. Some people are watching old movies. Others are humming familiar tunes, and yet others are shopping a lot. And others are spending time with friends. Of course, I'm talking about the release of the new Star Wars movie. I'm very excited about that. And my sons and I are preparing for it in a nice, methodical way by watching each of the previous 6 movies all the way through to December 18th. I know, right? 6 movies. Not all at once. But that's not what John's talking about in today's gospel from Luke, is he? He's talking about this preparation. Prepare ye the way of the Lord is the King James translation of it. And once a year I was in musical theater for a long time. And once a year I get to hear that opening number from Godspell by Stephen Schwartz. And the opening number is really fun and kinetic. There's lots of sound coming over and on top of each other from different philosophers and theologians throughout history. One's on top of here, and then somebody else starts to talk, and then somebody else all entirely, and somebody else entirely, and they're all jumping over each other, and finally the one voice crying in the wilderness sings, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And everybody starts to sing along, and I'm not going to make you do that. But people start to do that, and they start to get over and over and excited, because that's the translation that John was going with. Prepare ye, this insistence. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Do it now, not after dinner, not after, you know, brunch, not after you nailed birdie on 18. Do it now. It's that same insistence that the early church used, alleluia. You know, the two words that mashed up in Greek make alleluia. Alleluia, praise ye, and Yahweh, the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Do it now with this level of insistence and preparation. And change is difficult. When we prepare for things, it means a change, and change comes, and change can be difficult. Change that we're expecting is great. I mean, the old joke, how do Episcopalians change a light bulb? What's change? It's fun, because you have this idea that what was is now going to become new. And we can prepare for things nicely and easily. You can prepare for somebody extra coming to Thanksgiving last weekend. You can prepare for the Christmas pageant, which is December 20th at 5 p.m. Make sure you're here. We know how to print bulletins in church. We are all set with preparation. If you've been in Reverend Rachel's office lately, she has a big whiteboard on how she is preparing for sabbatical. And but for me to say that it's 6 months away just gave you a little heart attack, didn't it? No, it shouldn't, because she is preparing for a new journey. She is becoming something new in that change and in that preparation. It's fun and easy to prepare for things that we want, for the birth of a child, for moving from life within to life without. It's trickier to prepare for things that we don't want, to prepare for those radical life changes that just as equally define us. Whether it's a change in a job, from one to another, from joblessness to nothing. There's an emotional change that exists. Change from house to home to apartment to not. Those changes equally define us. Change from married life, reverting back to single life through divorce. Change in from life as we know it into new life after this. But that death, that marker, is difficult for us to change. And so we're encouraged to prepare. Yesterday, in the Margaret Parker, in Diocesan Convention, let me back up a little bit. For the past 48 hours straight, a lot of us, the Episcopal family in Los Angeles, have been in the Ontario Convention Center for Diocesan Convention. And yesterday, in the Margaret Parker lecture, named for a former First Lady of our congregation, Reverend Dr. Renita Weems talked about change. And the part that really struck me was that there is some change that we cannot change. But in that change comes God. The insistence that Greg Kimura was talking last week, that the early church had about expectancy and preparation and change, was a very, very real one, because they had this right now, God is coming, like we were talking earlier, not after dinner. God is coming now. God will be here soon, so we have to do all that we can to prepare it. And it's kind of funny to be in a church where my name is Greg, and that's fantastic. I have the greatest job in the history of great jobs, to serve as the director of Christian formation here with a dedicated, wonderful staff. And to be one of three Gregs in leadership is funny. I know what it's like to respond to the name Greg. And if you've been around the office and Rachel says, Greg, and both of us say, yes. Or, yeah, exactly, which one? I know what it's like to look at Greg. I know what it's like to respond to the name Greg. And if I go over here, I know what it's like to be near Greg. And I know what it's like to poke him. But I don't know what it's like to be Greg. And on my first Sunday here, I was struck by these windows. Well, both sides, but I'm going to focus on these windows today. And in the beginning of all things, how God wanted to be with us and walked with us in the cool of the evening. What a wonderful moment that must have been. And then choices were made, and God said, I don't understand. I gave this to you. I have this for you. What are you doing? I don't understand, but I love you so. And through the flood, yes, I'm going to go all the way down, so just pray in your necks. That's all right. Through the flood, we get a second chance. God loving us so much to give us that second chance. As we move further here, God reaching out even further through Moses and the burning bush to want to touch us, to want to connect with us in a way that hadn't happened before. And so God's infinite creativity continues through Jonah, saying, go to the people of Nineveh. And Nineveh is a whole other sermon for another time, but we have Nineveh over here, and right between these two windows, the root of Jesse and the Annunciation to Mary, God wanting not just to know us, not to reach out to us, but to be us in the incarnation of Jesus. And coming to a frightened teenage girl and saying, don't worry, be not afraid, because you're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to go through the terrible twos. The baby is going to become an exasperating teenager, a dutiful son, a beautiful best friend, and eventually all the way to Calvary on the cross. How do we prepare for that? We can't. I can't. About a year ago, I was going through a really, really difficult time. And I went to my spiritual director, career-long spiritual director, and shared this with us, and we talked about it, we wrestled with it, we cried through it. And he said, go back to the thing and the promises that were made for you. The first promises that you could ever have made. And we get to renew that promise every year through our baptismal covenant. And in those difficult times of how it is we can we, in the face of incredible change and responsibility, how can we prepare ourselves to become our best that God knows we are? How can we prepare ourselves for that? And right after the section where we renounce evil and all that Satan is doing to bring us away from the love of God, will you continue in the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you prepare the way of the Lord? I will, with God's help. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I share this small part of our faith with you this morning in the name of God who continues to create us.